Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God is not with you." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do not understand these things. Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony."
"I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict: light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." Thanks be to God for his inspired word.
Sharing your testimony. I think testimony is so important in church, isn't it? Because it really, really encourages people. And it's our stories, I believe, it's our stories that encourage other people in their faith. So stories are really important. And I'm a storyteller, you'll find out today that I'm a storyteller. I'm a great believer of sharing the stories of where God's worked in my life. And 25 years before I was a Baptist minister, I was in the work of storytelling. I was a drama teacher, and it was a great blessing to me teaching drama to young people from the age of 11 up to 18. And one of the things that I taught them to do was to really get inside a character's head, to really try and think about what motivated the character that they were playing, what made them tick, what drove them to do what they do in the play, what motivated them, why did they do what they did in different situations. And I was thinking about this, I don't know why, but I was thinking about this as I was preparing this reflection. And then I started praying about it and thinking about Nicodemus. And then this morning when I woke up, I thought, you've got to tell them about emotional recall, because that's been part of the process. And that will actually link what I'm going to share with you today, what God's put on my heart. Now, emotional recall is a method, method acting, and it was devised by a man called Stanislavski, a Russian actor and director. And what Stanislavski trained his actors to do, and what I tried to do with my students, was get the students to think about a time when they had felt the same as the character that they were going to play. And they would try and recall that emotion, and they would try and bring that onto the stage so that what they were doing was the truth. Now, that's all very well. That's wonderful in the drama world. And you're probably thinking, how on earth is this going to relate to a sermon? Well, I think for me, the time that I spent with Nicodemus has actually brought me to a place of remembering my story with Jesus. And my prayer for you is that the story of Nicodemus can actually become part of your stories and the stories of this church. So I'm going to invite you this morning to join me in a little drama, as we use some drama to go back to that night, that dark night, very, very late. And we're in the home of Nicodemus. And I imagine it's quite shadowy. The lamps have been burning all day, and there's just a couple burning, and the oil's nearly run out. There's lots of shadows. It's dark. And outside, it's silent. Can't hear a thing. And the city is sleeping. And there's only Nicodemus that's awake. And I imagine he's probably pacing up and down, and he's trying to decide whether he's going to do what he's planned to do, what he feels called to do. And then suddenly, as he gets to the door, his wife calls him. Where you going? What you doing? Sounds like our house. And he says, nothing. I've just got to pop out. It's something for work. You know, it's something I've got to do. And he goes outside. And imagine that night air when it touches your skin when you've been in the warm. And you just have a little shiver. And he puts one foot in front of the other. And he starts to make the journey to Jesus. And he knew it wouldn't be hard to find him, because he knew that where Jesus was, there were always lots of people. And there were people that Nicodemus didn't really think much of. But he still shuffled through the streets and alleys. And he remembers when he first saw Jesus, and it was in the temple, and Jesus was knocking down tables, he was spilling coins, he was screaming and shouting about turning a house of prayer into a den of thieves. And Nicodemus thought, you know, this man, I can't get him out of here. There's something really dangerous about him, but you know, there's something, I just want to know more. There's something fascinating about this man. And then suddenly there he was, standing in front of him, around a charcoal fire, warm in his hands, with his friends around him. And this is where our story begins. I went right up to Jesus. I introduced myself and I spoke, and I started with a compliment. Teacher, some of us have been talking, and you're obviously a teacher that has come from God. Your signs and what you are doing is proof that God is with you. He turned and he stared at me. The charcoal fire was lighting up our faces, and there was something in his eyes. What was it? Was it urgency? Was it love? I know it sounds silly, but to me it just felt like he'd been waiting all of my life to tell me something. To tell me something that would change my life. And he spoke, and he completely ignored my compliment. He just said, truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, to be honest, I felt a little bit insulted. Here I was, I'm a man of learning, a man of status. I wanted an honest conversation about religion and philosophy, and he made it about me. He might as well have been pointing his finger right at me, right at my chest. You know, this young man, he's from the margins, and he's speaking like this to me. Me. I'm a man at the centre of influence. And yet I sense this power and this authority as he held my gaze. It was really, I can't explain it. I was angry. I was confused. How dare he do this? And yet, I wanted to know more. Because despite my respectable standing, despite my religious commitment, my wealth and my success, I felt that he was looking into me and he was saying, Nicodemus, you are spiritually dead. And you need to come to life spiritually. The living God who has come down to save you, only he will restore you. And only he will fill you like an empty vessel. And at that moment, I felt so vulnerable. I felt so exposed because it was like he could see into me. And I wanted to say, I'm a good person. I'm respectable. I do my duty. What do you mean by suggesting that I need to be changed? What do you mean saying I need to be born again? But instead, I challenged him. And I said, well, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time to his mother's womb to be born? But he just seemed to see my deepest thoughts. He just seemed to see all the times when I'd wondered about this deadness inside me. The way that I'd think, I will do better, I will achieve more, I will follow the rules, I will keep doing my duty. And it was this way that really I was spiritually dead. And he seemed to be saying to me, you must become a whole new man. But it's not something that you do. It's something God does. It's something the Spirit does. And then all of a sudden the wind picked up and this charcoal fire started to expand and it started to dance. And he stared at me again and he looked right into my very soul and he said, the wind blows where it wishes and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from and you don't know where it goes. And so it is with everybody who is born of the Spirit. And it was in that moment that I knew. I knew that he was inviting me into something that I deeply and secretly longed for. Something I'd tried to achieve or control with my own efforts, my best religious efforts, but failed. He was offering me a new life, a life beyond rule keeping and law keeping. It was a life in the Spirit. It was a life of quiet power. It was a life I wanted so much. But why did I hold back? Why was I so afraid? How can these things be, I said. And what I really wanted to say was, how can lives burdened by sadness find joy? How can captives be set free? How can guilty people ever be forgiven? How can lost sons and daughters find their ways back to their father's house? How can our hard and crooked hearts ever be replaced with new living hearts? How can God be resurrected out of death? Once I thought I knew all the answers. But then it was like my heart became dead inside and I just lost my way. But now, in his presence, something was stirring in me again. And I wondered, is this the promised one? Is this the one that God promised who would be the yes to all these haunting midnight questions that I had? And then he continued, no one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. He was claiming that he was the only one who had descended from heaven, that he and he alone is the exclusive personal bridge between heaven and earth, between God and us human beings, making claims about himself which were outrageous. They were arrogant. They were ludicrous. They were scandalous. They were egotistical. But I wonder if they were true. Could they be true? There was another long pause, and I will never forget the intensity and the urgency on his face when he says, what will you do, Nicodemus? Will you go along in your own power? Or will you be born again from above? Will you let the living God fill you with his spirit? I didn't know what to say. I felt like somebody had punched me in the stomach. How could I believe? How could I leave behind who I was and follow him? What would people say? But then again, how do I return to my old life? I felt overwhelmed with all these thoughts and questions. And I still didn't have an answer. What could I do? And so I paused. And I looked at the fire. And I looked at the flames dancing. And then I turned my face away. And I walked into the dark. Boy, do I remember feeling like that so many times. A church prayed for me for 8 years to be saved. And then 20 years ago, I think it's to the day, maybe to the hour, and Hazel will remember, and Mary will remember, and who else was here that would remember? That I was baptized just here in this church and gave my life to Jesus. Steve's timing's amazing, but it was 20 years ago. And I can remember, I was looking to see where the baptism hall, it's there, isn't it, under those chairs. And I remember going down into the water, and it was, the feeling was like I was just, you know those human cannonballs, like I was just propelled out of the water, and I looked over there and there was this light, and I couldn't see because it just blinded me. It was the most amazing, incredible feeling and experience of my life, this just shooting out. And I can only explain that in that moment, as I came out of the water, I was born again. It's the only way that I can describe it. I knew as I came out of that water that my old life was behind me and my new life was beginning. And it's in those 20 years and all the stories and all that's happened in those 20 years with my Jesus, it's in those times that the Spirit has worked in me and has changed me so that at times I don't recognize who I used to be. And it wasn't easy. It's been very difficult. It's been challenging. It's been painful. But the most important thing to me is to be who God wants me to be in order to serve him. and I will go through all that I've gone through again to be where he needs me to be and to be doing what he wants me to do. And, you know, every day, every single day till I came, since I came to faith, I have prayed, Father God, what do I need to do to be the woman that you need me to be in order to serve you? And all those months when I was housebound after my accident, and all those times when I was in a wheelchair, when I couldn't be a minister, I was thinking, how can a minister minister when I can't move? It was during all those times that I realized many, many things, but one of them was the joy that serving God brought me. And it was the absence of that joy, the absence of being able to serve, that was the greatest pain. And you know, I can stand here and I can say I have never, ever regretted that day 20 years ago when I went into the water and I came out a new woman in Christ. And, you know, this desire to serve God has meant that I try and spend as much as time that I can with him, reading the word, praying, just being open to the Spirit, being willing to be obedient to it. And I know that is why I am who I am today, by doing what the Lord asked me to do, as crazy as it may seem. And I think that's the heart of, that's what I got out of this story of Nicodemus. Jesus was asking him to come into that very same adventure, that very same story. He was saying, come and hang out with me. Leave all that behind. Forget about authority and rules and status. Be with me. Spend time with me. Listen to me. Get to know me. Forget about religion. Have a relationship with me. Let your old life fall behind you like dust and come and have an exciting life with me. And it is exciting, but it is scary. And I can just feel the fear. I can remember the fear that I had, how worried I was when I came to faith. I'd been a Buddhist leader for the whole of the north of England for 16 years. I was about as senior as you could get. Mary's nodding. You remember, don't you, Mary? And for me to not only leave and not be a Buddhist anymore, but to become a Christian, it was a big deal. A really big deal. I was a drama teacher who also helped in PSHE and used to talk about my faith to the children. How do I go into school and say, well, actually, I'm not a Buddhist anymore. I love Jesus. I know how hard it is. And it was hard for me. Do you remember Simon's funeral? My best friend who I worked with, we both looked after the north together, he died a couple of days after I came to faith. And I went to his funeral. And people I'd worked with for 16 years turned their back on me and they wouldn't speak to me. It was horrible. So I know what that must have felt like for Nicodemus. I know how brave he must have been to go and speak to Jesus. I also know what the confusion's like and the fear of it. And I can still remember taking those steps and actually being brave enough to tell people what had happened to me. Although I didn't really need to tell them because they could see it. I know what it's like, and I thank God every day that I'm a changed woman through Christ. And we just had Easter, and we'll soon have Pentecost, my favourite times of the year, because there's stories of resurrection, of forgiveness, of new life. And I always see us as followers of Jesus, as a resurrected people. that through our relationship with Jesus, we are born again. Some people think that's a bit old-fashioned, but how else do we explain it? We are born again. And it's through our relationship with Jesus that day after day after day, there are opportunities for change. And some days we mess up and we fail, but isn't it great that the next day we're forgiven and we can start again? For me, I just want to have opportunities to share my stories about Jesus, about what Jesus has done for me. And I hunger to do that and to have opportunities. And I just know what that desire was like that Nicodemus had. He really, really wanted to know, but he was really, really frightened. He was frightened of what his peers would think. And maybe we've been in situations where we're frightened what our peers or workmates or friends or family would think when we tell them about Jesus. But I pray that you would have the courage to share your stories like we had this morning, because they touch people's lives. Stories always touch people's lives, especially stories about the Spirit and how the Spirit changes us, how we become new people, how the Spirit asks us to do things which sound absolutely crazy. And Pete's just got used to living with the craziness of living with me when God asks me to do things. But just do it, friends. Just do it. Because I can't tell you what the blessings are when we risk all because we gain all. Hanging out with Jesus is the best. Have you ever noticed when you hang out with somebody, the more you're with them, you pick up the habits, you pick up the mannerisms, you pick up things that they say. It's like being with them, part of them rubs off on you. You don't even know that it's happening, but it does. I've got a dear friend who is the most positive person in the world. And the other week, Polly said to me, "You are really becoming like this friend." Because her positive nature, turning things round, is rubbing off on me. And the more time that we spend with Jesus, reading his words, being with his followers, praying, just resting in him, the more Jesus will rub off on us, the more we will want to please him, and the more the Spirit will give us opportunities to do just that. Since I came to faith, I've prayed to be known by my works. I love the saying who is it that says it? I've forgotten. I've got a blame frog. It's because I've gone off script. Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Is it Augustine? No? Bless you. Thank you, Stephen. You'd help me. Francis of Assisi. Just say it again because it's fab. Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Guys, you could be the only Jesus somebody sees. You could be the only Bible that they hear. Just think about that. What a responsibility, but what a blessing. Since I came to faith, God has transformed me. In fact, my mum said the other day, "Are you really my daughter?" Because God's just given me this heart to love the people that other people don't love. And recently, the wonderful Tony asked me to join the team that go into Armley Jail. Oh my goodness, I was so happy. I loved it there. I just felt so blessed being amongst those people and serving them. Happiest days of my ministry were working in Bexley Wing with end-of-life care patients. that wasn't who I used to be, but that is who I am now through Christ. He sends us to go out and to be with his loved ones, his beloved, to be his hands and to be his feet. And when we meet Nicodemus again, and I love this because in the Bible often we don't meet people again. We meet him and we see he's changed. Because he goes with his friend Joseph and he takes the body of Christ, that broken body. He takes it and he prepares it for burial. An incredibly dangerous and a hugely humbling act of love and service. A job that's usually done by women or slaves. And as I think about him doing that, I think about my Jesus, who took off his outer robes and who knelt down and who washed the feet of the men that he loved, including the one that would betray him. How he did that to show his followers, that's the way we behave. That's the way we see serve God. I was really disappointed when Steve changed who I was preaching on, because it was one of my favourite women, the woman at the well, and I was really excited about it. And then he emailed me and said, sorry, Helen, it's Nicodemus, but I'm really, really blessed by it, because the time that I've spent with him, getting to know him, and not taking it as a story that I knew really well, but really getting to know him, it's just been such a blessing to see how that mighty Pharisee, filled with pomp and power, took off his outer robes and he humbled himself to prepare Jesus for burial. And that, I think, for me, is a testimony of how Jesus changed his life. And that, for me, is what happens when we're born again. The Spirit motivates us to do things we'd never have dreamt of doing. And I just find that quite beautiful. And as I think about it now, I just find those moments, I imagine they're silent as they do that, so beautiful. I don't recognize who I was before I met Jesus. I often feel quite ashamed of who I was, but then I remember that I'm forgiven. And I still feel excited about that invitation into a relationship with me. Being a Christian is not about religion. People, strangely, the kids at school used to say, are you religious, miss? And I would say, no, I'm not religious. I've got a relationship with Jesus, because that describes my walk. It's so, you know, I'm a simple woman, and it's very simple for me. I love God. I love Jesus, and I want to love their beloved. And they've given me this big heart to do it. And that's what it is for me, a heart to love other people. Kez once said, that's your superpower, it is. I'm not a theologian. I'm not an academic. Somebody once said, you're not a theologian and an academic, Helen. You're a practitioner. And I am. And you know what? I'm quite proud now that I'm a practitioner. I'm proud that I'm willing to roll my sleeves up and go to third world countries and tell people about Jesus. And I'm proud about all the things that God's led me to do in his name. Proud of the opportunities. I'm proud that I am a new person in Christ. And as I've been praying about this and this transformation and serving God, what God's put on my heart this week is you guys and this amazing blessing that you've had, this great God thing where everything just moved together. And Tony gave me a little testimony of how everything clicked into place like all these cogs in a wheel, that you got this building. Wow. What an opportunity you have. What a blessing You can serve your community by sharing this space with them. You have such an opportunity. And your harvest is out there. Look out there what you've got. You've got a school. I'm looking at a school. We've got homes where seniors live. You've got a Queensway estate. Is it Queensway? I always get it wrong. Yeah. Wow. What a harvest you can bring home. But it starts on your knees, guys. It starts praying and praying and praying and asking God, what do you want us to do? How do we use this space? How can we serve others? How can we bring the lost ones home? And we pray and we pray and we listen and we discern and we share. And great things are going to happen. I can see it. Great things, because God has made it happen that you've got this space. So in the moment, I'm going to play a piece of music. It's a modern piece of music, but it's in the style of Teze. And it's a great way of just allowing people just to be, to let go and let God. And I would encourage you to just use this as a time of prayer. Ask the Spirit to whisper his dreams in your ears. Ask him to tell you what beautiful kingdom dreams he's got for you. Because you have been given a great privilege and great responsibility to use that space to be the hands and feet of Jesus. You know, the other day I was listening to something. It was about this Benedictine abbess called Hildegard. And she wrote about the effect of wind and the spirit on her life. And she tells this story about this king. And he's in this great hall and he's got these big pillars encrusted with jewels and gold bands and pearls and precious stones. And he goes up to them and he chose a tiny feather to look at, not the gold and the diamonds and the pearls. And he watched this little feather as it soared on the winds, and how the winds and the breeze bore it and it didn't fall. And Hildegard said, "I am the feather on the breath of God." And I thought, wow. I am the feather on the breath of God. And that sums up my relationship with God. A feather on the breath of God. Let me pray for you. Father God, I just thank you for your touch on our lives. For we too are feathers on the breath of God. And may your wind blow us wherever you will. May you speak your dreams of kingdom building into our hearts. And may you give us the wisdom and the courage to make them a reality in this space. Amen. Shall we have the music, please? Then let's just open ourselves up to what God wants to say to us about this blessing on our lives.
Thank you.
David had the lovely idea of playing my baptism song as our last song today, and the words are just beautiful and perfect for the journey that I've had and the journey that you will be having as well. And it's called I Will Offer Up My Life.